That's how we do it here.
Yeah. Lots of buttfuckery here on the Walking Alone podcast. And here we are.
Hey.
Thanks, guys. It's another episode.
You said like it's a bad thing.
I did it again. You know what? You know what's funny, man? One thing I've started to realize is that I have this, a way about my tone that makes me sound kind of bummed out sometimes. And I don't always realize it until I either go back and like listen to myself talk or read something I've typed. Sometimes I'm just like, ugh. I feel like my tone is just bummed out, but I'm not. I'm always like really happy about everything.
You're like George Costanza when he gets the audio book with his own voice.
Oh, I never.
Oh, yeah. He like gets a book on risk management,
mm-hmm.
but he can't read it anymore, so he gets audiobook.
Get closer to what happens.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, that's cool.
And it has like his, what is risk, man? It's like his voice, and mm-hmm. he gets all bummed out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good stuff. But yeah, so here's another episode. Pepped it up a little bit for you guys, make it seem a little happier on that one. We have a guest with us today, Mary Brewer. Right, well, Cornell Diego, you guys know.
They know.
Fucking
drill.
Yeah. So this person that we have here, we've mentioned her a couple times. We even called her once on one episode.
Left, I remember.
That was the one that didn't record.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, you guys called me for the Emily episode.
Yeah.
And we called you again and we left a message. Episode.
Yeah. Three Emily episodes there have been. One of them is just
lost.
Lost episode.
Lost episodes.
Yeah. Mary Brewer, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay!
Hi.
Good friend of ours, Muay Thai fighter, coach, rock star. Your band is currently on tour, which is why you're here right now.
Mm-hmm.
Played a show last night.
The Spice Girls?
Yep.
That's
you
great.
You guessed it. Oh, tell me what you want. What you
badass
really
Spice.
Want. No, I was thinking of the words.
I was thinking
tell
of
me what you want. I was thinking two songs.
I was thinking that if you should have a band called Spice Girls and it can be like all Dune themed. Because like the spice melange from nice. Dune, you guys said wear like blue contact lenses and have magical powers and then talk in funny voices and make people do stuff because that's what they have like the special
Boy
voice.
Man
uh-huh,
the,
uh-huh.
Their idea
yeah, the Bene Gesserit, and they can make you do anything that you like. Yeah.
Is it kind of like the Force?
It is like a Jedi mind trick.
Fear is the mind killer.
Yep. Totally. You got it. Mm-hmm. So what's going on?
Well, I don't know. Where to begin? I just started a month-long tour.
Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn was our first show. Tonight we're going back to Philly, and I have to schlep in the snow all the way down to the Gowanus Whole Foods after we're done taping. Is that what we call this?
Yeah, today? Recording.
Recording. I guess it's not. It's digital, so it's not really taping.
Yeah.
Meet up with a gang because they're reticent to drive and collect me from North Brooklyn, but that's okay.
Yeah. Fun
doing this with you guys. It's mm-hmm. long overdue.
Yeah, you're like when we talked about starting doing this. Like I remember, Eric was the first person to like put the idea in my head, and you were the first supporter.
Me?
Yeah, because the day we met up to go get the recording stuff, we met at King Cog, and you were there, and we're talking about it, and you're like, oh, I'm so excited for you guys to do it.
Yeah.
So you're the first supporter, I think.
That's such a nice title. So. It's an honor to be the first supporter.
Well, thank you.
And the latest guest.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I feel like that day, we hadn't even planned on doing it. We're just like, oh, we'll just go to the store and get some stuff and see what happens. But we ended up, that was the day of the first show.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah. We were having so much fun talking and like busting each other's balls at Best Buy. And like we have to just record one because it just get going. Just do it.
Yeah.
And Danny was lucky enough to help us. Well, we were lucky enough to have Danny Rico. Thanks, buddy. Help us for the first two episodes. And look at us now.
Here we are.
In my bedroom.
Yep.
Yeah.
twiddling
delicious
knobs.
Delicious smelling vanilla candle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Twiddling cool knobs on a little Lisi's multi-mix.
Ooh.
Yeah. So so the show went pretty well. You enjoyed it? I enjoyed it.
Had a lot
I thought
of
it was a good show.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah. I always get nervous when I invite friends. I'm like, you can come, but like, you don't have to. I'll put you on the list.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
cool. And then, I don't know, it's almost like inviting your friends to your fight. You're like,
yeah.
God, I hope I do good. I want people to come. They paid money. They like...
They made this their day.
Yeah, they have busy schedules. They could be at home, I don't know, watching Netflix or doing literally anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But they chose to come see me do my thing.
Yeah.
And so it has to be good.
Yeah. God, speaking of Netflix, have you guys seen House of Cards?
No.
All right. So there's this.
Have you?
Is that the music?
That's the theme
song. Okay. that's just Mary just now having an epileptic seizure and just repeating tones.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I get a huge kick out of it. I get really sucked in.
Muay Thai pun.
There goes one.
So
I got a great teep out of that one.
Yeah. Hey, I got a teep for you. Why don't you?
Oh, there you go.
Why don't you mind your P's and Q's?
New hashtag for you guys.
Yeah.
Muay Thai puns.
Teep of the week. But yeah, I feel like it was one of those things where like the first season, I was like, holy shit, this show. Oh,
Jesus. Damn.
Excuse me.
Yeah. That's quite vibration you got there in that phone.
That's a powerful text message, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It was on all caps, that's why.
Yeah.
Someone's yelling.
But yeah, I thought that the like the first season was great, but then the second season, I was like, okay, well, I get it. I know what's going on. And I tried to watch a couple episodes of this current season.
Mm-hmm.
I can't watch it.
Really?
I can't do it anymore.
Why come?
Because it's just, I get it.
Oh, okay. Like, yeah. Like, why are you pulling this out? What is it called? When you elongate something.
Draw it out.
Drag it out.
So you're saying that, like, the first few episodes of Walking Alone were great, and then it kind of, like, stagnated, and now we're on, like, the crappy one?
No, we're like wine. Oh. It gets better.
Oh, okay, good.
With age. Yeah. We're like,
I'm a little nervous.
We're more like Star Trek The Next Generation.
Oh, we're growing the beard?
Yeah.
I always wanted to.
We're in the beard stage. Because, really. Like, the old episodes of Next Generation, before Riker got the beard, they sucked. And then it just got better as it went along. But, yeah, so you're working on a new little project in the a new project in Philly.
Oh yeah,
gonna be teaching at a school now.
Yeah,
coaching.
Yeah, there's the new academy opening. My very dear friends Charlie Catone and Kate Allen. I don't know what this gesture is.
Project.
Oh, to project.
Yeah, talk a little louder. Yeah.
Eight Limbs Academy.
Perfect.
West Philadelphia Muay Thai kickboxing.
Awesome.
Yeah, there you go.
It's really exciting. I watched two of my friends work very hard as a coach and a fighter, respectively, for a time at a different gym in Philly. And it's just like the podcast. They were just like, let's open a gym. And then they just did it, and it's really amazing. And I've rarely felt so proud of two people who, I think they make an amazing team, and they complement each other so well. Like, their strengths are in different realms, and it's a reality. Like, the gym opened on Monday, and I'm astonished.
Wow.
And they asked me to be a part of it, take my first crack at instructing in any official capacity. So I'm nervous, but super honored. And
that's awesome.
Really,
yeah.
Jazzed.
That's awesome.
Well, what made you get into the Muay Thais?
Was it
all street fights and shit? Because, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you guys listening in your car right now, or whatever, your commute, or whatever, Mary used to be you're in a gang.
That's half true. I belong to the International Street Gang. Some of you may know it. I think you were once a member yourself.
Yeah.
Diego's still a member, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not sure what we're talking about.
Oh,
about the Straight Edge, the coolest gang.
Oh, yeah. I don't really consider myself Straight Edge, because I don't really listen to music. Because I didn't have that. I feel like Straight Edge is a big connection with music and all that stuff. And it's like, I don't drink and I don't do anything drug wise, but I'm not saying forever, and I'm not saying that. I don't know the rules of Straight Edge in that way, where it's like, I'm sober.
I can tell you the rules.
Please.
Rule number one.
Yeah.
No fun.
Okay.
Rule number two.
So far, so good.
No dancing.
Oh, all right.
Rule number three. Do what feels good.
Well, that takes away rule number one.
ask the council.
All right.
I think Eric's on it. I don't know.
Yeah, Eric's he's lead counsel.
He's an elder.
He's an elder.
He's an elder.
Stop. Yeah. I was going to make that joke.
He's got one of those red, like, hoods.
Yeah.
Whoa, not that kind of elder.
No, no, no. I mean, like a monkey style. Not like a...
What?
Monk. Like a monk.
Yeah. Okay.
Not like a racist-y.
Oh, I was thinking more like... I was thinking wizard. Wizard monk. Like a monk wizard.
Yeah. They took that word, too.
Yeah, what monk was it?
No, they took wizards, didn't they?
Wizard. That's oh, what I was
the clan?
Oh, that's where Sam the Hood. That's why the Hood's bad.
They took dragon, too.
I know.
They took assholes.
They took grand, too.
Like no.
The grand wizard. they also took, clan and clue and clux.
They're taking it all.
This is devolving
so
rapidly.
Yeah, I don't consider myself, I don't call myself straight edge, but I don't participate in all drugs. Right,
so you're not in our gang because it's blood in, blood out.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not in that.
I thought you were talking about IAK.
What?
That's a gang that you and I are in. IAK, the International Ass Cookers.
Oh yeah, shit. Is Diego in it?
I don't know.
I've never been told about this. So. Okay.
All right, I guess not.
Yeah, got
to. Dang.
It's cool to discuss gang secrets on like right away.
high production quality.
There you go.
Yeah, there we go. Perfect.
Just exchanging some mics. Mm-hmm. Pass some mics. It's like hot potatoes.
We're swapping dicks.
Yeah, but yes.
Yeah, oh
my goodness.
How did you start with like training? Where did this come from?
When I was, I guess I was like 18, a bunch of the kids that I grew up like going to punk shows with started training. And one friend in particular, my friend Aiden, who incidentally took me to my first punk show, was like, come on, do a class. You'll be great. Like, you should sign up for an intro. You'll love it. And I signed up for an intro and I totally didn't love it. Mm-hmm. And I stuck with it for like 6 months, not loving it. And I was like, I dreaded going to class every time. It was so hard. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the first 6 months I felt like kind of weak, kind of foolish, but it got in me and I was like, oh no, I'm not going to let this thing beat me. I'm going to get this thing and I'm going to keep showing up. And now, I mean, I definitely have a deep love for the sport, but I also have a weird compulsion. Like I don't think my brain would be okay without
doing it.
I just don't think like stopping would even be on the table. It's just like such a part of my identity anymore that I don't know.
It's weird. I thought about that too, where I don't know if it's because of the benefits of training that now I can't quit or if it's something that I just need to have something to be like scratching at to get better. I like to think that it is the benefits because I feel so much of what I do in the gym translates to my everyday life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And like, you know, how I feel about myself and how I feel about the world and how I can treat people. I think it helps in that way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think any of those things that you said are mutually exclusive. It's,
yeah.
It's, you know, it's letter D, all of the above.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Vitamin D.
Vitamin D.
Yeah, I heard this thing about how a lot of like darker skinned folk, like black people, Indians, whatever, they're like vitamin D deficient, and like, you know, like when they live in like say like we live in like North America, that kind of shit. Mm-hmm. We're not living in the desert. We're like can be vitamin D deficient because we have like such natural protection from the sun.
Oh,
so
it yeah,
ends
yeah,
up,
yeah.
If you're not in the desert. Like when it's like getting pounded, you're getting pounded with it. It's turn this into something it's not. But yeah, it's sometimes it's a little harder for us to absorb it.
I didn't realize.
Yeah, I didn't either until.
What are you gonna do? Are you gonna hit the tanning booth? I mean, what can you?
Just take supplements. But I think I'm all right though. I think my diet's balanced enough to where I get vitamin D out of stuff that I eat because I don't. Yeah.
All the food groups, pancakes, tofu scramble.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I had all the food groups for breakfast today. I ate a pancake out of a bowl.
Oh, the pancake bowl,
that's
yeah.
Potatoes in the middle.
Jesus.
God bless.
Yeah, it's so good.
That's your calorie intake
starch.
For the day.
I know. You know what's weird? I felt like that after I ate that. I was like, man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to eat another meal today.
Mm.
That's a lie.
That's bullshit. I'm already hungry again.
Yeah,
sick.
That's total bullshit.
Yeah. Especially in the cold, walking around in the cold. It's snowing today miserably again. And I know for me, when I'm outside in the cold, I just get hungry immediately.
Yeah.
Because your body's just like burning, keeping you warm.
Yeah. You get that hibernation instinct. Like, oh, let's pack on these pancakes and taters.
Yeah.
Keep us warm in our little hobbit holes for the winter.
That's what it's saying.
Mm-hmm.
coupled with the winter training slump. I don't know if you guys experience this, but like end of January, end of February, it's like, oh, I could go to the gym. I should. I'll go. Fine.
Mm. It's just you don't want to leave the house. Yeah. It's just natural human instinct to be like, let's stay inside and sleep and eat a lot of hair to kind of cut our butthole so when we hibernate, we don't poop. God.
That's what bears do.
That's what bears do. Hair and rocks, so then they kind of make themselves constipated, so they sleep and don't shit themselves.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I mean, I guess you could get like really sick if they had like waste.
I don't get it. I don't know how they do it.
I don't know.
Yeah, could you imagine if you were like?
It's beyond me.
Like an aliens. Could you imagine if they started like taking dumps in their cryosleep chambers? They probably ate a lot of hair too.
Mm. Or some kind of futuristic medicine, but yeah, hair or that.
You're right, it probably was futuristic medicine.
Man, these super high-tech spaceships are like, all right, guys, just start eating your hair.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, they get it. It's like, if you will, they're like in the meeting, like, if you will all check under your tables or under your seats, you'll see a packet with your jumpsuit, your hair packet, and packet of rocks. So you don't shit yourselves in the tube when we're going to hunt before we go hunt the aliens.
Whose hair is this? No, ask questions.
Yeah. Yeah, don't ask questions.
Yeah. Mary, how many fights have you had now?
I just had my sixth fight.
Woo!
Yeah.
Killer.
It was the toughest. I think it was the toughest one. Yeah. I fought a little heavier than I have in the past. It was like 122.
It's huge.
That's big for me. Yeah. That's really big. I mean, but if I normally do 118 day of and 122 day before, I felt the size difference, and my opponent, the lovely Aaron Jimenez, was very strong.
Mm-hmm.
I felt it. And the next day, I really felt it. Yeah. But it was a great experience. Like, she was a really smart fighter. I feel like I feel like sometimes I got over on her. Sometimes she got over on me. It apparently was a very entertaining fight. I watched the video.
Good.
I'm not mad.
Yeah.
After I get home from tour, I'd really like to line something up for late spring and summer.
Nice. What, this is like totally chilling, but you're talking about shit you're doing. I was thinking about, like last night when I saw you guys play, I feel like it was better than the last time when I saw you guys play. And, I feel like, I mean,
we haven't said the name of our band, by the way.
Oh, Self Defense Family.
There you go.
Yeah. SDF.
That's us.
Which is like Robotech. Because the ship was called the SDF-1.
Robotech?
Kidding.
Yeah, Robotech.
What did it stand for?
Super Dimensional Fortress.
Whoa.
What is all of this? I don't know.
I only know Robotech from Cornell explaining it to me.
Okay.
But I feel like I'm very familiar with the series at this point.
Yeah, it's this like Japanese cartoon show where aliens and transforming robots.
Oh, yeah.
Spaceships.
Yeah.
And
Japanese Transformers. You could have just said that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Japanese Transformers with people inside.
Oh, okay. So yeah. Japanese Power Rangers.
Or Power Rangers. Yeah, it's Power Rangers.
All right.
Power Rangers are drawn on paper.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. But, I feel like, I don't know, just like the, I don't know how long I've been seeing guys play shows. Maybe like 2 years. I've seen like 2 years of shows.
Maybe even more.
More than that?
I don't know.
But what I was going to say is I feel like the sound is like, is evolving in a good way.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm glad you think so.
What are you into? What do you guys like? What's I know what you like to listen to. You can tell people that don't know. But like, what's like as a band? I know that sometimes it's hard, like as a collective, as a band, to say, hey, we want to be like this. But I feel like there's like a direction that kind of you get pushed in.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, everybody we have a really eclectic membership and a really eclectic taste. I feel like there's only a handful of things that all of us would agree on, if there's anything that all of us agree on. But this band has been around much longer than I've been involved with it. I think it's probably been about 10 years now. I'm playing in it for about 4. So it has the benefit of having started, and I feel like every like early inception of art or early band starts by just aping something that they like, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it sounds like there's a negative connotation, but there's really not. Like,
art creates art.
You gotta stand on the shoulders of giants sometimes and maybe like straight lift some of their riffs and stuff.
Yeah.
But I guess over time, I don't know, like everyone's experience level has gone up. Everyone's like pushing it out into weirder directions and we kind of all meet in the middle and everyone's, it's kind of like ring experience, I guess, in a way, like the more tours that happen and the more we all play together and gel together, the more like our individual style sort of manifests and the more confident everyone gets, the better it can be presented.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting you said that, the thing about like the fighting thing and like, cause it's, when you think about it, like fighting, playing in a band, like actually like the actual time that you're doing that thing that you're trying to get good at, which is either, you know, actually being in the ring or actually being on the stage, like the collective, like all the time you put all that time together, it's such a small amount of time. Like, I was listening to a podcast or listening to someone talk and they're talking about, you know, like how Buakaw's got like, you know, over 300 fights or over 200 fights. Right.
Wow. Yeah.
So he's got like 200 some odd fights. Right. Some of those ended with like elbow stoppage. Some were like knockouts and stuff. So some of those fights were only like, you know, I don't know, like less than 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So dude's been fighting since he was 8 years old. He's got, you know, over 200 fights, ton of experience, but he's only done that thing. He's done that thing for less than a year.
If you add up all the time.
Yeah, collectively. Like if you add up all the time that he's like actually been in the ring. And I feel like the same thing with playing in a band. You practice so much and practice and practice to get good at this thing, to get good at this thing you're doing for only like 90 minutes at a time or an hour or however long your set is. And, you got to put a lot of time in to get really good and to actually get to that point where stuff starts changing and growing and evolving.
I mean, the effects are cumulative. So like if you have years of experience playing your respective instrument, and then you all come together with all that experience, that's, I feel like, what's a good way to phrase this? I don't know.
It's a good try.
But I think, so yesterday I did an open mic, and it's a really popular one around the corner at a Pine Box, and there was, like, almost 40 comedians there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many people that instead of doing, usually, like, we do, like, 4 or 5 minutes, we did 2 minutes.
Oh, shit.
So I waited over an hour and a half to do 2 minutes on stage.
It's crazy.
So, like, if you look at it on paper, like, that's not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
But being in the room and being, like watching other people work shit out and, like, seeing jokes that they've done like a week before and that they've changed the wording a little bit, or even the little time I had on stage and trying to fit something into a smaller space. I think even though it is less time, I got a lot out of yesterday, even though it was less time. And I think it's just your the way you kind of think of it and the way you kind of use that time. It was just really weird having to do it in such a short period of time with like seriously like 40 something people in the room.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was challenging and different, which is, again, I think that uncomfortable aspect, the awkwardness of doing something is when you're growing in it. And it's just like, just be okay with this awkwardness and not feeling comfortable and just doing it. It was weird. Yeah.
I love feeling uncomfortable. It's all, it's like...
I hate it. I recognize that it's good for me, but I hate it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't like... So I have a couple pair of these underpants that are like the bottom of the drawer that I have to wear when it's like getting close to like if I don't really feel like going to the laundromat.
Down to the wire.
Down the last ones. And I have a couple that are uncomfortable. Like there's one that like for some reason it just always like the just get like a wedge just on like the left side. So on my left butt cheek.
Yeah. More details, please.
Yeah. And I don't like that uncomfortable, but getting out of your comfort zone is always good.
Yeah, I mean, it's
a good feeling.
If you care about growth, which I think, like, not to get too philosophical, but what's the point of all this if you're not going to grow?
Mm-hmm.
So if you care about that at all, which maybe you ought to, you have to be uncomfortable sometimes. And I don't know. A lot of times with Self-Defense Family, we rehearse, like, once before a tour, so the first couple of shows were sort of flying by the seat of our pants. I'm glad you saw a good performance for us last night, though it was not without some small catastrophes.
Yeah.
Was there a fire?
No fire.
I got excited.
but yeah, there's always that bit of discomfort, and we do a lot of improvisation live. Mm-hmm. And kind of wing it or jam it, and sometimes it goes great and the energy's right, and sometimes it goes really poorly, but then you know. And
yeah, exactly. It's okay. It's not supposed to be perfect all the time. It's kind of cool in that way.
Yeah, that's what I call it. Art, I guess.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Are you originally from Richmond?
Yeah, I grew up in Richmond.
Richmond. Mm-hmm. And how long were you there?
I moved out of Richmond in 2010. I was 21, and I moved to Brooklyn for a couple years. Trained at Five Points, hung out with this guy a bunch.
She's pointing at Cornell.
Yeah.
Audio podcast, sorry.
Yeah.
And
there's just like a dead body in the corner that you're pointing at, and yeah. No one talks about it.
Yeah.
It would be funny if I just pointed at myself. Yeah, this guy. Hang out with this guy.
Two thumbs.
I was really pointing at Diego's dog.
Yeah, he's good. He's like, why can't you guys just let me sleep? I don't understand. Yeah. All this talking.
Does have a very sweet, sleepy face right now.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
He's got the right idea.
It is the earliest I've ever done a podcast.
It is. It really is.
Yeah. It's not really that early. Like,
it's like...
I'm sure we've been up since 5.
Yeah. When I got it in.
Yeah.
Son. And then I have to schlep my rolly suitcase down Iguanas so we can drive to Philly. It's probably going to take us so much longer than it should because of all the snow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to it, to tell you the truth.
Well, I mean, I think that the plows are already out there. They knew it. I mean, it was supposed to be, like, they were saying this was going to be pretty big, so I feel like I'm thinking on the bright side, but I think they were probably prepared for it.
All right. I'll take it.
Because it's not snowing hard. It's just snowing, it's really light, but a lot.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's good powder out there. It's like...
Are you a snowboarder?
Yeah.
Johnny Tsunami really? Over here?
Yeah. Johnny Tsunami. Wait, what was his...
great film.
What was his friend's name?
I don't remember.
Jet Jackson. Well, he's the famous Jet Jackson, but he was in Johnny Tsunami.
I don't remember his name in the show.
Shoot. Oh, that's cool.
He was like an army brat, wasn't he?
Something like that.
That was years ago.
You know what I love? What I love is that I talked to someone the other day that said that they listen to the show a lot, and you know how sometimes we'll do this? We'll like throw out some references, but we don't know the name, what we're talking about.
They're yelling it into their headphones.
Yeah.
Fucking idiot!
I love it that people do that.
Oh, yeah. Because I do it when I listen to podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, why don't I have Dana Gould's phone number? I could just text him the answer to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. But, yeah, so do you guys like, all right. Do you like Fugazi?
Honestly, I never really connected with that band super hard. Growing up, I was a huge Minor Threat fan.
That's cool.
But yeah, I mean, I think they had like great ideas and stuff. Their music never really captured me.
Yeah. Because you guys don't sound like Fugazi, but I feel like you guys are kind of capturing that era that they created.
How so?
I don't know. I feel like Fugazi made this, they weren't necessarily the best band from that era, but I feel like when I don't really want to lump them into that post-hardcore category, but...
I think that would be a fair assessment.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think that...
So when that whole... I feel like when that whole thing was coming about, they were kind of like pioneers in that, you know, in kind of in the same way that the Russians were pioneers in space exploration. They weren't the best at it by any means. Like it's kind of like they kind of had to, they kind of pushed the car out of the garage, and then, you know, Cena, was that the guy from the documentary, had to get in and drive it?
Who? John Cena? He's a wrestler.
Yeah. I thought there was
what documentary?
The race car driver guy.
Who?
Cena.
What are you talking about? What?
You look so worried.
Race car driver.
I don't know.
We're talking about space.
I feel like
I'm working on an analogy here. Holy shit, 18 new messages. I'm working on an analogy. I'm saying that it's like the much in the way that the Russians pushed the car that is space exploration
that is
out of the garage. They needed someone who was actually a good like driver to jump in and take the reins. And that's what I'm saying. Jesus Christ, Cornell. It's like that's what I'm saying. Fugazi did that with the post-hardcore music movement because they weren't necessarily the best at it, but they pushed the car out of the garage and then some other people got in and started driving it and did it better. And I feel like you guys are
you're better than Fugazi, he's saying.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
But still, like, it's like you're kind of taking the torch and running. I don't even know what I'm doing with my hands right now.
You know,
but,
I think my takeaway from Fugazi was, okay, you have hardcore. It's a genre. There's a formula. You can kind of plug and play. It doesn't take a genius to play hardcore. In fact, most of the best hardcore bands are comprised of straight cavemen. And it's great music, but like it's kind of limiting.
Gay Cavemen would be a good band name.
Oh.
Gay Men.
Yeah, go for it, man.
Henry Nyer's third band.
I guess my takeaway from Fugazi is just do exactly what you want. And I think that's what we do, and we make no apologies about it. I think likely they didn't either. I'm not intimately familiar with their history, but that's kind of the impression that I have.
Some kid with like a Discord sweater is yelling into his microphone or into his headphones right now.
Yeah.
They apologized a lot.
Apologized a lot.
I have no idea. I don't know.
I really wouldn't know, but
Ayrton Senna. Senna? Am I pronouncing it correctly? This is Italian.
But what are you talking
about?
The race car driver.
I've never heard of that person.
Oh, really?
You mean Dale Earnhardt Jr.?
Yep.
Oh, there you go.
Mario Andretti?
I thought that was two people when I was a kid.
What'd you say?
I thought Mario Andretti was two people.
Like Mario and Andretti?
Andretti, yeah.
Mario and Andretti.
Because I remember watching...
Mario and Eddie.
I remember watching Home Improvement.
Yeah.
And when they're doing Tool Time, Tim Allen's like, ladies and gentlemen, Mario Andretti. And one guy walked out. And I guess the other guy's not showing up.
Yeah. Where's Reddy?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Facts about my childhood.
Yep.
And early adulthood.
Yeah. Al Unser Jr., he was another one. He's another race car driver.
I don't understand where this is coming from.
What's a race car driver thing?
You know, okay, basically what I'm saying is...
No, I get the analogy. I'm just confused to what these people have to do with my life. Or
No, he didn't explain the analogy.
Not the analogy. I'm sick of that. I got the analogy.
Okay.
But who are they?
Race car drivers.
Okay, and why do you know who they are?
Because they're... is a Netflix documentary about
there you go. Okay, we never explained that. Which documentary?
Cena. It's just his name.
Oh,
okay. I never heard of that documentary.
Yeah, okay.
Was it good?
I never watched it.
Oh, man. All right. You're coming from like left field hard today. I never watched it.
I heard it was awesome, man.
All right. God. All right.
He's supposed to be a good driver. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's good.
Yeah, so you guys are pretty good as a band.
Hey, thanks. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
What do you play? Bass, right?
I play guitar.
You play guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Guitar. That's awesome. How long have you been doing that?
Playing guitar?
Yeah.
My dad gave me a guitar when I was like 10 or 11, and I started playing in punk bands when I was a little teenage.
Mm-hmm.
Little squirt. and
yeah, terrible joke.
Oh my god. Anyways.
Yeah.
Shit.
The adults will continue talking.
Yeah.
I don't know. Seems like a while.
Long
now.
Time. Cool.
Long enough that I feel like I should be a more capable player than I am, but I works with what I got.
You do a lot of cool shit though. Like you make like your own microphones and shit.
Actually, yeah.
Play the harmonica.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
God bless YouTube, man. I learned so much from YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to record harmonica on a specific self-defense thing. And also an instrument that I'm a complete hack at.
Mm-hmm.
But I just like it. And
yeah.
Fake it enough. So I looked on YouTube and I wanted to see like, what kind of bullet mic do you recommend? Because I don't know anything about it. And a bullet mic, for those who don't know, is unlike the handheld mics that we're using with like a, I don't know, like
area to grip,
a handle,
yeah,
shaft.
I didn't want to say it.
I mean, that's what it is, though. I mean,
anyways, bullet mic. You cup with your hand and you kind of pinch the harmonica against it. You probably see him.
Oh, Bruce, yeah, players. Yeah. I've seen people do it.
So I
Bruce Willis.
Yeah, Bruce Willis.
Oh, kills it.
God,
on that.
I love that man. He's awesome. So cool.
Yeah.
So on YouTube, there's a bunch of people with tutorials on how to make a homemade one. I was like, oh,
whoa,
man, this is going to be way over my head, but I'm going to at least watch. And I watched a few. And basically, you find an old rotary phone. And then, you know how on the old rotary phones, you can unscrew the earpiece and the mouthpiece?
Mm-hmm. That's where you put the tap.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just put it right there, like a little sticker.
That's right. Yes. So inside where the tap goes, you can see...
Tapped.
Got him. Fucker, secrets are mine now.
My homemade bullet mics are tapped, too.
Good. there's a guy in a van like, fuck, this is loud.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is... Whew. Yeah, especially because those things are such low impedance, so they get like really trashy sounding and like feedback like crazy and distort really cool and sound lo-fi and far away, like you're talking to somebody on an old phone.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, you can unscrew it and you see there's like the little metal element that the one in the earpiece, well, the one in the mouthpiece is obviously a microphone. Mm-hmm. The one in the earpiece can also work as such, and you don't need anything to power it. So it's really basic. There's like two little wires. You solder those into like a quarter inch jack and then plug it up and it just instant microphone.
Whoa.
Super easy.
That's gnarly.
It's really very 101. Still quite a challenge for me because I'm not good at soldering. I actually burned my knuckle soldering this one, and it's a hack job, but it's a cool thing. I enjoyed making it. I enjoyed making something old and worthless into something useful and...
Mm-hmm. That's very steampunk of you.
Yeah. very Jedi. Because they make their own lightsabers.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah, lightsabers make their own Jedis. No, Jedis make their own lightsabers.
That's sick.
Like, there's a deleted scene from Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And Luke is in a cave and he's, like, tinkering around with a metal shaft. And then he seals it up. And then all of a sudden... It's a little laser beam.
Look at that.
Pops out.
Another fact about Star Wars I didn't need to know.
How about that?
But there's actually... I mean, that's what they say it is. But there might be... actually, what I think is going on... I don't think he was... He did build his lightsaber. Don't get me wrong. He did that. Luke, don't choke me. But I think that scene in Return of the Jedi where he's like... tinkering this shit and it looks like he's building a lightsaber. He's actually making adjustments to the lightsaber and the R2 unit so that he can hide the lightsaber in the R2 unit so that when he's on Jabba's air skiff, that R2 can pop the shit out and he can catch it in the air, and then that's how he ambushed Jabba. But I don't know, maybe he's building it. I don't know. They say that the fanboys say that it was him building it, but I think it's him just making the adjustments to it.
Are you saying you're not a fanboy?
That's not what I'm saying at all.
Okay, all right. Just making that clear.
Yeah. Not, I mean, honestly, though, Star Wars, not that good.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it when I was a kid, but and I think it's cool for what it is, but I don't know. I just don't think they're good movies.
Mm-hmm.
The storyline is not that dynamic.
It's not. And the acting is terrible, except for Harrison Ford. He's awesome in everything that he does. But the acting is really bad, and like you said, the story is not that great. The special effects were cool for the 70s, but... Yeah, not good movies.
Wow,
not that good.
We're losing followers as you say that.
Yeah,
Twitter. Hand in your nerd card.
Yeah,
right now.
Twitter is like, you know, like the nerd gavel. Like they're all like
the high council.
Yeah, they're all yelling it, and they're like, order, order.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Where are some of the cities you're hitting this tour?
Let's see. We're going to go right shortly. I have to leave for Philadelphia. And then I think it's Boston and somewhere in Connecticut. And then we're going down the East Coast. We're going to Richmond, Chapel Hill, Atlanta, I think, Gainesville, and then across to Texas. Mm. We're going to do some dates in and around South by Southwest.
Awesome.
Yeah, it should be fun. And then the Southwest, I think I forget all exactly where, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Excited for. It's a beautiful town. Then
my friend Jenny's from New Mexico.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, cool.
She'll probably listen to this episode. Hey, Jenny, what's up?
Hey, Jenny. It was nice to meet you yesterday.
Hi, Jenny. How I've longed for you.
Oh, my God.
This is.
And then San Diego, LA, San Francisco, and somehow we're going from San Francisco to Salt Lake.
We're probably going to drive, right?
That's we're probably going to drive.
Somehow.
On a car of some sort.
Yeah.
And then back through the Midwest, and I kind of lose track at that point.
Hmm.
To be honest, I'm not the one steering the vessel.
Mm.
Yeah.
That sounds fun. I've never been on tour. I've never been in a band, but it seems like a good time.
It is. It's fun.
Especially with as many people, you said, are in the band, like, I feel like that can be a little more fun because I'm sure there's going to be parts where you're like, all right, I'm sick of that person. And you can like walk away and talk to somebody else. But like, in a 3-person band, it's like, you're kind of fucked.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how, a lot of like traditional band dynamics seem foreign to me because we'll get to a place and then sometimes scatter, like people just do their own thing. I don't know. I feel like it doesn't have to be. It's not, I'm not trying to go on summer camp and I'm not going on, you know, road trip or Euro trip. I'm going to play music and to work on my craft. And it so happens to be with people that I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know. It's not like, late nights and partying and it's a road trip. Sick. Mm-hmm. It's work. It's work that I love and I enjoy, but I don't know. I feel like, I don't know where I was going with that. I'm not trying to sound all corpro or anything.
I just don't know many people that do that old, like, Whitesnake kind of, like, Motley Crue, like, fucking ruining hotels and like just partying. Like, does anybody even do that anymore? Like,
I think so passe.
Good Charlotte does that. Not Good Charlotte. What's the other one? Some 41.
Oh, do they still band?
But they're not around anymore. Oh, okay. I mean, I think that the successful ones don't do that.
Then that guy got to die. I remember like hearing something about the lead singer was like really sick.
Oh, maybe that's why. Maybe that's why they're not around. Sorry. Some 41 fans.
That was some poor taste.
Yeah.
No, he didn't know. It's okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
He wasn't like rubbing it in, like, your lead singer's sick.
Oh, God.
Like I'm doing right now.
Yeah. Hanson?
I'm really taking it there.
I think.
Is Hanson still a touring act?
Who knows? I'm just throwing
They are in my heart.
Yeah, I'm just throwing shit out there.
I feel like they could probably just get a bunch of money just hopping around at different festivals and then, I don't know, live off that royalty check quite comfortably.
It must be weird, yeah, because like I don't know how much money they made, but I'm sure it was enough to like be fine for quite a while.
They self-released that. I think Mbop, and that means.
Oh my God! Really?
That they.
Did you see what I did?
No.
Like
self-released. Oh God! Thank you.
All the money they made off that hit was just for them.
Holy shit!
Like no label is taking a cut. Oh my God, thank goodness this is an audio podcast.
Yeah, Chris is dying over here because of a jerk off joke.
Well, it's not just that, but it's a bunch of teenage boys jerking off.
Yeah.
Because they're handsome. They're littles. Oh.
Oh my God.
Damn it. Well, on that note,
and you crashed and burned that one.
Yeah.
Are you okay on time?
I am past time.
Oh, okay.
All right. So just a short one for today.
Yeah.
Hey.
It's good seeing you.
It's good to see you too.
So glad you came.
Thank you.
Thanks for doing this thing.
This was fun.
Yeah.
I'd like to appear on another episode if you'd have me back.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I'd love
we gotta go to Philly, like we say, and like do like
come
a hangout,
Philly,
workout.
Come check out the new gym.
Yeah, hit pads.
It's really exciting.
Yeah. Ride bikes.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Go to Blackbird.
Yeah. I'm down for all that.
Okay. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Make it happen. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks.
Take us out.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys, gals, Vulcans, other aliens that are part of the Federation. We really appreciate you guys listening to us. Why don't you give us a visit to Walking Land in my seat? What are you laughing at?
You, dude. We're laughing at you. What do you mean? You're the only thing happening right now in this room.
Visit.
Oh, don't mess up.
buy our patches.
Yeah, we've got some patches. Go to walkingalonenyc.com.
Oh, maybe I'll give you some more patches.
And
sick.
Click on the On It banner ad. Pick up some
sick
stuff.
Patches.
And also. Visit our Instagrams, Cornell Ward.
Perfect for your podcast.
At Walking Alone NYC. At X, what, Brula X? What the fuck?
Just link it.
No, no. say your Instagram, goddammit.
My Instagram is Mary X Brulator. And you
don't act like you don't have to spell that.
Yeah. I have to spell it?
Give it a try. Just see if you still remember how.
I could try.
Okay, go.
Brulator.
Ah, you messed it up. Yeah. It's French. It has two U's in it. Everyone will miss that second U, and it drives me nuts.
Because I'm an American.
American? Where's Twitter? The birth certificate?
I don't know.
Yeah. Everyone follow Mary on Twitter also, which is...
I never post to Twitter, so don't follow me.
Follow her anyway.
It's just going to fuck your ratio up. I don't know.
All right, but yeah. So you can check Diego and my Instagram out, so you can check out the patches. Send an email to walkinglonenyc@gmail.com.
Oh, can I plug? Eight Limbs Academy?
Yeah.
Which is at eightlimbsacademy.com. And self-defense music can be found at selfdefensemusic.com.
Can I get tour dates off of that?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Are there any, like, maybe like two or three that you want to throw out there that where you're going to be the next couple
days?
Other
than the one she just did for...
Yeah.
They got it. They got the message. All right. They have the World Wide Web at their fingertips.
That's right. www.clickety-clack. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening. Later.